Let's give our warmest welcome to Pastor Robert.
Thank you. Pastor Ben went with me to Poland just a few weeks ago. And so then you spent a bit more time together. Something I already knew, but just want to say to encourage you, because if you would ask me what be one of the impressive impressions you would have, it would be that he's humble. And humility does not come for free. You know, Jesus, he learned obedience in that he humbled himself. And humility is always comes at a cost. And it is good to know that the pastor that you honor and follow is a humble man. Because without that, we'll never see the great things of God. And so I'm really privileged to have this partnership together. And we meet ever so often and spend time together. And they are not secretive. They're open and sincere and upright and forthright. And these are qualities of humility. You cannot have humility without honesty. You cannot have humility without uprightness. Because humility will always demand that you become upright, sincere, and forthright. You can't keep hiding and find humility. Because humility is like holiness. We cannot have it of ourselves. My father said to me when I was a young boy, he said, "Son, don't ever forget to humble yourself. For it is within every man's heart to exalt self." And humility is something that comes to us through our fellowship with Jesus Christ, just like holiness comes to us through our fellowship with Jesus. For there is none holy but the Lord. And so I really consider it a privilege to be here with you today and share this momentous time. And I'm excited that you're here to share this, because, you know, sometimes people do not appreciate history, but history is made up out of events like this. And I like to look back at times when God did things, and some of the greatest things that God has done were very small, seemingly, at their outset, at their beginning. But the Lord says, do not despise small beginnings. Amen. And he said this to one of the great revolutionaries, and that I mean in a positive sense, somebody who is able to get something moving when everything has been dead for 70 years. That's what I mean by revolutionary. Somebody who's able to get something moving when it has been dead for 70 years. You know, there's a lot of people that can talk about what should happen, but there's not always that many that can make it happen. And one of the great revolutionaries that made things happen, his name is Zerubbabel. And he was the governor of Judea in a time when for 70 years nothing had happened. And Zechariah spoke to him by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not going to be by the might of man or the power of man, but by God's Spirit that this is going to start moving. And I can see here that this house is not being built by man's might or power, but by God's Spirit. And that is a good thing to be part of. And I see God's Spirit forming it and shaping it. And I'll tell you the truth, I'm watching how Pastor Ben and Amanda are forming and shaping things, and I like what I see. And what I like most is that their hearts are humble and tender and teachable. Because then God can stay in control. Many people start out well, but they're not able to finish. Jesus said, "Father, I've glorified your name by finishing." Friends, we want to finish well. Amen? Paul says, "I've finished the race by keeping the faith." And it's important that in 20 years from now, 30 years from now, if the Lord tarries, that we can look back at this work and we can love the house in which we live. I think about my own home. I left the house today and kissed my wife goodbye, with whom I've been married for 33 years. and cuddled my little grandson, Elijah. And it was so funny when I heard Pastor Ben just saying this little story about the good news and the bad news. Remember? The roof caved in is the bad news. The good news is we have the money. The bad news is it's in your pocket. Remember that? Well, my little grandson is 3 years old, and he in the mornings he always has, still has, he likes a little bottle of milk. So he then lays in the bed and has his little milky, you know, as he calls it. So he came into the bed at 5 o'clock, my son, Zachary, and he woke him up. He said, Dad, yeah, yeah. He said, you want the good news or you want the bad news? And my son, waking up, said, what? He said, you want the good news or the bad news? He said, what's the bad news? He said, I spilled my milk in the bed. He said, what's the good news? He said, I'm not. And I laughed for days about that. You know, he's still figuring out the good news, but the bad news. But, you know, I feel blessed, the house in which I live. I have three grandchildren, two grandsons, one granddaughter. And my sons, you know, one is 31 and one is 26, and they honor and love me. The Bible says that it is grandchildren are the glory of grandfathers, you know, and the glory of children is their father. And friends, if we allow God to build our house because we give ourselves to build his house, then we will be thankful. My mama said to me once, she's 88 and she's full of the fire of God. She said to me once when my boys were little, she said, how are the boys? I said, yeah, they're doing well, Mom, but okay, they're real boys, so we're trying to raise them right. She said, raise them right is important, but that they will serve the Lord will be his reward because you and Virginia obey Jesus. And if you daily obey the Lord Jesus Christ, you will reap the sweet reward. He will cause the same spirit of obedience that's in you to come into your children and your children's children. And while there is nothing to me more rewarding than to see God's spirit in my children and my children's children. God is good, and I'm pleased to be with you here today. And I feel that the worship was preparing the way for the message that I have for you tonight. And that is the power to pay the price. And I would like to open the Bible with you in John chapter 10. And while you look that up, I was in Slovakia yesterday. I came back late last night and I was ministering there with gypsies. And to see the difference between those who are born again and those that are not, it's absolutely so dramatic and so powerful. When we give our lives to Christ and he comes into us and makes us a new creation, things change, not just spiritually, but in every way. It was pretty phenomenal to go into these villages to see where these people live in absolute unimaginable poverty. I went into one of these villages where they live, but there's no water, there's no electricity, there's no sewage, there's nothing. And these people live there. And they somehow make it happen. 20 people living in one little bitty small something. And of course, now it was terribly hot, 38 degrees Celsius. So it was very, very hot. But in the winter, it's 20 Celsius below zero. And to think these people live there, and then to see how God has built this church through Pastor Marion, and there's now 700-800 people in the church, and all these people go to the church, and their lives are being transformed, and they're building bigger, better dwelling places. I went to another village, and they had now already water in it, and they had some electricity in it, and you can see the difference between those who are Christians and those who are not, because Christ will help us get educated and help us get clean and help our life get sorted out, and they are having to do such foundation work and teaching people just normal, healthy morals. You know, that you don't, as granddad, sleep with your granddaughter or things like that. Things we cannot imagine that are cultural because there have been no guidelines of godliness there, and that all has to be built. We should never think that the world is just going to go down the tubes as long as the church is on the earth. And we need to realize that as a church, we have a mission to preach the gospel, not just in word, but in power. My 17-year-old daughter has on her ceiling, "Preach the gospel." Use words if you have to. And I like that statement she has on there. Okay, here we go for tonight. The power to pay the price. The glory of self-sacrifice. John chapter 10, verse 17. "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Let me read that again. "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself." Listen now. "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received from my Father." And I want to talk to you for a moment about the power that Christ has to lay down his life, that he now imparts to you and me. And it's very important that we hear about this a lot, because you cannot grow spiritually and become forceful in the kingdom of God without the cross and denying yourself. Because the gospel is advanced upon the earth at the cost of those who bear it. We will never be effective evangelizers or bringing people to salvation unless there is the power of self-sacrifice. And the power of self-sacrifice is not just what we see within the martyrdom of the apostles that we read about in the scripture, but it is the daily life by which we ourselves embrace a life that does not come natural, but that comes by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, friends, he said, "I am loved by my Father because I laid down my life by myself." Friends, it is even within your experience painful when you have to get somebody to love you at force. When you have to force somebody to love you. It is heavenly when somebody loves you out of their own initiation, at great self-sacrifice. Yes, we all need this, because this is divinity. You see, God is love. And God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that love was revealed unto the whole world when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, came into the world, the Bible says in Titus 3, verse 4. When the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared to the world. Friends, Jesus came to demonstrate the love of God, and he gave himself for us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Yes? And that kind of love is what lies at the foundation of the true gospel. Yes. Without that kind of love, the kind of gospel we bear does not produce the kind of fruit God's looking for. Because God is not just looking for converts. He's looking for people who become like his children. People who are truly born again. And there are people that bear a gospel that has no self-sacrifice. But Jesus Christ brought us a gospel of complete self-sacrifice. And he says, "And this is the love that the Father has in me, that I lay down my life of myself." The church will never advance against the forces of darkness without this kind of power of self-sacrifice. The church will always be beaten back by its by the antagonism that is infused in this world, by deceiving spirits, by lying spirits, by evil spirits, when it has no self-sacrifice in it. If the church is only there for what we can get out of it, it is not the church of my Lord Jesus Christ. But if the church is there that has at its root this power of self-sacrifice, it will conquer the selfishness that is in this world. It will conquer the lies of the devil. It will conquer the evil that's destroying our world. Because this is the power by which Jesus overcame the world. It was that he gave himself for the world. He said, I've not come to destroy the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Oh, friends, there is a saving grace that comes from the throne of God when self-sacrifice is made manifest. Jesus said, I have the power to lay down my life. This commandment I have from my Father. Go with me for a moment to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, because I want to talk about this power for just a minute. And I want you to see why this power is so essential, especially in the day in which we live. I'm not preaching this kind of a message to criticize those who seem to be powerless when it comes to self-sacrifice. I'm not here to criticize anybody, nor am I here to stir up your hearts to look at other ministers whom you may think are not self-sacrificial. Friends, whenever you judge another as such, you condemn yourself. Because all of us could use a bit more power of self-sacrifice. When was the last time you got irritated at somebody in traffic? Well, there goes the extent of your self-sacrifice. Come on now. We should never boast ourselves about being so sacrificial. Anybody who's truly lays down his life on the altar doesn't know how to boast about it because he's dead. I've never heard a dead man boast how dead he is. Have you? You've gone to a mortuary and hear them, I'm the deadest of all the people here. I'm the coldest and the bluest. I have never heard a dead man boast about being dead. And the absolute of self-sacrifice is I. It's no longer I that live it. Now look at this. Here is the power by which Jesus laid down his life. Yes, this is what we're talking about. How much more, verse 14 of Hebrews 9, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Very simple. Dead works, what that means is that you keep doing things that give no spirit life. That's simply what that means. Let's not be complicated. I know some people try to be theological about what that means, dead works. Dead works is things that you are doing that produce no spirit life for you or for others. How much do we do in our life that produces no spirit life for us or for anybody else? We need to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to set you free from continuing to do things that produces no fruit. He said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll bear much fruit. And this is what glorifies my Father, that you bear much fruit. God wants that the thoughts of your heart and the actions of it produces the kind of fruit that gives glory to God. And here it comes. Jesus liberates you from these dead works. He liberates what? Your conscience from these dead works by cleansing you with his blood that has this power of self-sacrifice in it. You see, often we are conscious connecting with things that produce no spirit life. We are kind of like the dead connecting with the dead. We're connecting with things that has no spirit life. We're hungry for entertainment that has no Holy Ghost life in it. We're hungry for the kind of food that gives no eternal life. People get so excited about going out for a meal that they often can't afford. That's dead works, because it gives no spirit life. God is wanting to cleanse your heart from constantly connecting with things that give you no spirit life. He wants you to begin to connect with things where the power of the Holy Spirit is at work, where the thoughts of God are at work. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But first, I want you to see this, because all of us in our natural human nature have this, that we are among the dead. Or did you not know that before Christ came into your life, you were spiritually dead and separated from God, and you were a child of wrath by nature, God's wrath by nature, and you were under the sway of the wicked one that controls this world? But God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
So, friends, I want you to see something, because when you try to die to self, yourself, you'll find out you can't do it. You can't do it. Paul would explain what I'm telling you in the simplest way in Romans chapter 12. He says, through the law of God, I came to the knowledge of what's right and wrong. And while I agree with the law that these things are good and these things are bad, and I want to do the good things and I don't want to do the bad things, something inside of me is causing me to do the bad things instead of the good things. And now that I've come to know what's right and wrong, I feel worse than I did before I knew what was right and wrong. And friends, you do not have the ability to die to self. The more you begin to realize how selfish you are by nature, the more you begin to realize that you are really not as righteous as you may think you are, the more you see it in your life. So then you want to kind of turn off the light. It's like this lady who came to our church some years ago, and she said, Pastor, ever since I've come to the church here, all hell has broken loose in my life. So I had to quickly ask the Lord how to respond to that, you know, because if you say, hey, ever since I've come to visit you, all hell's broken loose, that is not necessarily a positive impression of your church. And the Holy Spirit gave me this little idea for her. I said, you know, dear lady, it's kind of like you've been cooking in the kitchen for the last 20 years without the lights on. I said, now the light's on. So we can do one of two things. We can turn off the lights and keep cooking, or have spring cleaning. What would you like to do? She said, spring cleaning. And friends, we do not have the power within ourselves to have the kind of self-sacrifice God's looking for that he loves. We don't have it. I don't have it. When I went to go see my pastor 30 years ago, because my wife and I had difficulties at the beginning of our marriage, I explained to him what was happening from my point of view. And he looked at me and he said, oh, wow, Robert, that is simple what the problem is. I said, oh, good. He said, you're just plain selfish. I said, wow, now that would have been the last one that I thought I had a problem with. Because I do, and I gave all my good do list of everything I did. And I said, so how can I be selfish? It's this amazing thing. You cannot smell your own breath. You cannot always see, in comparison to God's love, how lacking you are when it comes to self-sacrifice. But I'm grateful that God granted me mercy and enabled me to hear that man speak to me. And I began to pray and I said, Lord, remove this selfishness from my heart. Teach me your love. And when you want to know the love of the Father, he begins to empower you with this power to lay down your life. What power? Jesus offered himself to the Father by the eternal Spirit. Very important that word is used. We could have used the word and would have been totally legit, Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit. But God did not use the word Holy Spirit here. He used eternal, pre-existent Spirit on purpose. to show you the size or the greatness of the power by which Jesus offered himself. And why is that so important to the Lord? So that he may show you what kind of power he wants to put inside of you. Because the more you begin to realize that you need to deny yourself and take up your cross if you want to see the greatness of God's kingdom and power come on earth, the more you begin to realize what a horrible, selfish human nature we all have. And how we can stumble over the silliest things. How we can get offended, irritated, frustrated, judgmental, critical, unkind, crude, rude, cutting, slicing over the most silliest thing. And we can see, Lord, I'm crying, I'm praying, I'm weeping to know your grace, to know your power, and here I stumble over nothing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So the Lord is wanting to show you, I want to infuse you with the power that has overcome all of that.
That's awesome.
A power that overcomes all that exalts itself against the mind of Christ, against the heart of God's love. This power by which Jesus laid down his life is what he wants to infuse in your inner man. And he wants you to live out of that power, enabling you to lay down your life in a way that you never thought possible. Never even imagined. God has wanted to take you to the unlimited resources of his loving kindness. The Bible says, I pray that you may be so filled with the Holy Spirit that you through faith may know Christ living in your heart and may grow your roots into Christ himself and begin to realize the height, the depth, the breadth, and length of his love and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. And God is able to accomplish this in you through his power that's already at work in you. I'm quoting to you Ephesians chapter 3. Friends, this power that Jesus Christ obtained for us in human flesh, or brought into human nature in himself, is what he wants to impart to you. He offered himself to God by the eternal Spirit of God. And thereby he empowered, or that power is in his precious blood, and he cleanses you from dead works. He cleanses your conscience from connecting with things that bring forth death, spiritual death. Do you know something? You can be operating in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, having gifts of the Spirit, and then be employed by works that bring spiritual death. Yes. People. Holy Ghost people, tongue-talking people, people with prophetic gifts or healing gifts or whatever kind of gift, all of a sudden are employed by works that bring death. Yes, how many pastors who have had such miraculous ministries have been married more than 3 times? Oh, I'm telling you, you need to realize that there is a forceful enemy who seeks to employ those whom are anointed. Those who have the Holy Spirit. I'd be the last to criticize these precious servants of the Lord. Because you haven't tasted the kind of power they operated in to know the kind of forces that come to trick them, snare them, stumble them, fall, make them fall, and employ them by works that cause spiritual death. Friends, we need to realize there is never any greatness of the kingdom of heaven on earth unless it is through a crucified man. The most forceful man in the hand of God, the most forceful woman in the hand of God is a crucified soul. No longer I that liveth, Christ that liveth in me. The Apostle Paul says, when I began to experience such heights of the kingdom of heaven, Satan came to buffet me, and I suffered in my flesh his thorning attacks and cried out to the Lord to be delivered from it. And he said, no, for in your weakness my strength shows up most perfect. It is my grace by which you are the apostle I've made you to be. And we need to realize that the grace the Lord Jesus is talking about is that he infuses within you the power of self-sacrifice. Now, why don't you take off the limits off of your life and let Jesus take you a whole lot further than when you've gone so far? Because most of us are stopped by our own selfishness from advancing in the work of the kingdom.
Wow.
And I'm talking right here, this man, where I would experience such glory and grace with God. And then all of a sudden, that old selfish nature would make me stumble and fall. And I wept hot tears before the Lord. And the Lord said, son, I have to make you more one with my power by which you can lay down your life so that the enemy cannot employ you with dead works. Can you hear me? This power is sufficient. It is sufficient. It is sufficient. No matter how selfish you are, no matter how deeply rooted the stains of these familiar behaviors are, if your father was that way, your grandfather was that way, stop blaming them for your behavior. Take responsibility for your own attitudes, for your own thoughts and feelings. Honor your father and your mother, and God will bless you. Do what the word of the Lord says. Take responsibility for yourself, for every man must pay for his own sins, but mine are paid by the King of Kings and by the Lord of Lords, because I'm receiving that power by which I can lay down my life at the foot of the cross. There's room at the cross. Thousands have come, but there's room for you too. And that power will implore you. You can say, oh, Pastor Robert, you don't know how hard it is for me to lay down my life. I'm so addicted to pornography. I'm so addicted to drugs. I'm so addicted to bad behaviors. I'm so addicted to this. I can tell you that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which he offered himself, is greater than the power that's holding you back from the kingdom of God's glory. And I want to encourage you to put your faith in the Lord Jesus, that he will work in you that power that he came to bring us, the power to lay down our lives. And I'm telling you, when you live in that power, when you live in that power to lay down your life, you begin to discover different things. Yeah, read with me Philippians. Go with me to Philippians. Are you okay so far?
Yes.
Philippians. Praise the Lord for his word. It's alive. It's active. It's powerful. Philippians. I'll find my notes here in a minute. Chapter. One, verse 9. This I pray, listen now, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Do you know that people that have little self-sacrifice always have big irritations, complaining, fault-finding, negative views of others? People have to do very big things to get their attention. They're so slowly satisfied. They're not easily satisfied. People that have little self-sacrifice. But people that have Christ's power at work in them to enable to lay down their lives, they become sensitive to pick up good things in others. Because you see, through self-sacrifice, you are purified. You're purified of judging others, fault-finding others, condemning others, being negative about others. Why? Because you have found this amazing grace by which you are enabled to lay down your own life. And you know that you don't have this of yourself. You know that what is at work in you is the kindness and the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And you all of a sudden become sensitive to things that give life. Oh, friends, we so often miss out on the good things that God wants to do. I love to live in this. When I am so broken and crushed, and there's none of Robert, and Christ has worked so deeply into my nature to help me lay down my life, I am so still of soul, still of spirit. I can be going through the grocery store with my wife and I'm just happy to be together. I'm not complaining about having to do it. I'm walking with her. I'm telling you a true story. I'm walking with her and suddenly I said, "Oh, darling, I feel the Lord needs me. Do you mind? I'll come back in just a minute." Sure. She takes the trolley. I look around and I see this lady standing there. And the moment I see her, I feel that same knowing. I walk up to her and I said to her, "Dear lady, I feel the love of God is coming towards you today." And she begins to weep and weep and weep. She said, "My husband just left me for another woman. And I'm just praying and saying, God, could you help me?" I said, "Well, he is. Be encouraged." And I continue doing groceries. For me, that was like, wow. I was the happiest man because the Lord made me sensitive to what he was doing. Jesus said, "My Father loves me because he shows me everything he's doing himself." Friends, when you don't know this self-sacrifice, you never know what God's doing. Yeah. You're always only busy what you're doing or somebody else is doing. I want to be sensitive to what my Father is doing. I pray that your love or the love of our Father will grow so strong in you that you become sensitive to what he's doing. Yeah. That you notice it, you feel it, that you are being moved by his love. That's called compassion. Love in action is what the word calls compassion. Do you know that most of all the miracles Jesus saw the Father perform through him was when he was being moved by compassion? God's love moved him. He could feel God's love moving in him. Remember how the woman who had a blood issue for many, many years, 12, 15 years, touched the hem of his garment and instantly the blood flow in her stopped, even though she had tried, spent all her money with doctors, but none were able to help her. And she just touched the hem of his garment and instantly she was healed. Remember that story? And then when Jesus found her, he found her because what happened? What did he say? Power or virtue, same word, came out of me. He could feel God moving in him. Do you know that when this power of self-sacrifice begins to work inside of you, you begin to become sensitive to the life-giving forces of God because you're getting set free from dead works? Do you know that there are people that have like almost an intuition to click the channel when there's some pornography on, to click the channel when there's some evil on, as if there is some other spirit able to move them to things that spiritually kill them inside? I don't want to be led by the power of the air, by the force of darkness that operates in the sons of disobedience who are under the wrath of God and are separated from the brightness of his presence. I want to be moved by my Father. My Father is the creator of heaven and earth, not the devil. The devil's not my Father. I don't do the works of my devil. I don't love pornography. I don't love hate. I don't love to watch murder and killing and destruction on TV. just to talk about it makes me feel uncomfortable. I love for the Holy Spirit to move me. I love to be led by the Spirit, because I know that those who are truly sons of God, they love to be led by the Holy Spirit. Let's not fool ourselves. Are we sons of God? Are we sons of the darkness? Do we love the Father and His love moving us and compelling us? Or do we love the darkness and hate and evil and uncleanness and unholiness? Let's not fool ourselves. We're either sons of God or we're not. If we're sons of God, then it's the Holy Spirit moving us. Come on now. And the more you allow this power of Christ to move you, to lay down your life, the more you become aware of what the Father, our Heavenly Father, is up to. I'll tell you, He needs you. Are you listening, sir? He needs you. And He is looking for those through whom He can move. The Bible says the eyes of the earth, the eyes of the Lord run through and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those through whom He can show Himself strong, whose hearts are responsive to Him, loyal to Him, sensitive to Him. I want to train this heart, or I should say, I want this heart to be trained by the Lord Jesus to be sensitive to the Heavenly Father. I want this mind to be trained by the Lord Jesus, to have the mind of Christ, to be sensitive to my Father, my Heavenly Father. Is God your Father? Is He moving you? Is He shaping you and forming your thoughts? Is He shaping your ideas, your desires for living? Is He moving inside of you? This is what I'm talking about. Can you hear me? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, phenomenal chapter. What a glorious chapter. Verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we just judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he who died for all, and he died for all, listen now, verse 15, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. When the love of Christ is moving in you, you no longer live for yourself. And you know, sometimes we have a romantic idea of what that means. But that simply means that when you get up in the morning, the spirit by which you wake up your family makes them feel loved and accepted and well-pleasing. The spirit by which you greet your spouse and your children makes them feel favor and peace and goodness. Do not fool yourself that God can be impressed by some kind of stage or podium when He sees you in the secrets of your own thoughts and in the privacy of your own home. My children are too old. My son is 31. My other son is 26. They're too old to just act like daddy is a minister. They know the truth. They grew up with this man. They saw him privately. They heard him. They saw how he treated their mommy. You cannot think that you can just live one way privately and think how you can have another reputation publicly. Jesus said, what you have in secret, our Father will make manifest in public. We all go through the school of self-sacrifice, of self-denial, where we're not appreciated, where we're not recognized, where we maybe have to endure things unjustly and unfairly. And in that school of self-denial, self-sacrifice, where we maybe have to endure behaviors that are unfair, that are unkind, the Heavenly Father is watching. Are you employing His power? power to lay down your life? Are you employing his love to cover everything, to endure all things, to bear up under everything without complaining, without fault finding? Are you employing this power that I'm talking about? Because if you have been employing this power privately, secretively, the day will come that the Father will begin to reveal that the life you have been living before him, he is proud to give to others. Jesus said, the life that I have with the Father, I give to you, and I give it to you in abundance, so that as I live, you may live also. Friends, we need to realize that this power by which we lay down our life is wrought in us by his Spirit in the secret, in secret. When you are not appreciated, when you are treated unjustly, unfairly, when you've been betrayed, when you've been rejected, when you're not recognized and not appreciated, when you are going through things that you could avenge yourself, but you commit justice to him who judges righteously, and you love those who hate you and bless those who curse you and treat kindly those who are cruel to you, because you are employing a power that doesn't come from self. When you employ this power that I'm talking about to be able to lay down your life daily, I guarantee you the Spirit of grace and glory will come upon you, and you will begin to delight yourself in these hardships, because when these hardships are at their peak, the grace is sufficient. The power that overcomes evil is now reigning and ruling in you, and you have been purified in your suffering. I'm telling you, sometimes nothing will purify us from the selfishness of the Adamic nature but the cross of Christ, where we suffer. How long do you want to keep suffering? When will you learn your lesson? When do you say, okay, enough is enough, I'm going to stop making a mess of this by having a big fit and an anger tiff and throwing it all back on her, on him, on them, and excusing myself by accusing them? I am no longer going to be overcome by evil, but by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it's time I'm going to overcome this evil. And I'm going to see the grace of Jesus Christ triumph in my home and in my family and in my marriage. And I'm telling you the truth, when this power, when you employ this power to lay down your life, and it comes to a point where the Father is able to see it and be pleased, the Spirit of grace and glory will come upon you. And when the Spirit of grace and glory comes upon you, you will find out that Jesus has no enemies. They're all under his feet. Amen. And his enemies, or I should say your enemies, are his enemies. You need this. You can't stop blaming. You can't keep blaming, excuse me. You can't keep accusing. You can't keep going ahead and soothing that pain by telling everybody else what they did against you, and you are feeding yourself on dead works. You've got to let the blood of Jesus cleanse you from those dead works, that addiction to gossip, that addiction to fault finding, that addiction to complaining. I mean, you almost are pushing him or her to make a mistake just so you can again have something else to gossip about. I mean, who needs the devil when you're like that? That is so demonic, so dark and evil to be like that. Provoke somebody to make a mistake, and then when they made a mistake, you go tell others about it when you were the one that caused it. That is the devil. Who is your father? God is my Father. How do I know he's my Father? Because I act like his son, Jesus. I suffer patiently and quietly. by the power that I employ, that he abundantly supplies when I'm suffering, when I'm hurting, when I'm wounded, when I'm being crushed. Oh yes, and sometimes it does last a little while. Why? Because your roots aren't strong enough to endure in doing good until evil has been overcome. Some evils are not uprooted out of our family line or out of our relationships until we can endure doing good as seeing him who's invisible. It takes a bit of endurance, tenacity of goodness. No, I will not act like this, think like this, talk like this. I will not allow this to control me and employ me that I begin to act like this. Greater is he that's in me than this which is coming against me. And you have to endure doing good to overcome evil. Can you hear me? Come on now. I'm preaching because I feel I am laboring. I'm laboring in your hearts, laboring in your heart to say, come on, let's take off the limits of the Almighty. Let that power of Christ come inside of you to enable you to lay down your life sweetly, kindly, gently, quietly. Quietly. Man, some people make a lot of noise when they have to pay a price for somebody else. Well, you push me, but I'm not going to get angry. What are you right now? Sure not sweet. It's not quiet. That smell of that self-sacrifice does not please my Father. Do you know something what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2? That the love that Jesus demonstrated when he laid down his life for us was like sweet perfume to the Father. You don't know the power I'm talking about when the stench of your self-sacrifice makes everybody feel pushed and pressed by your so-called self-sacrifice. You make us all feel guilty. That is not the kind of self-sacrifice that saves the world. You make everybody feel guilty. You're having to pay such a price. No, it's not the kind of self-sacrifice we want. We want the kind of self-sacrifice I saw in my mother growing up. My, the whole house was filled with the fragrance of kindness and goodness and gentleness and sweetness. And it was so forceful that all of us 8 children became subject to this power. And my mother reigned in the house by the spirit of grace that saves and teaches man to depart from evil and do what is good. And we became subject to the grace that was on her. And it may have taken my mom 2 hours for our spirits to become one with her. And the reason she had such power, because while we were at school and she was doing the housework, she was praying and weeping and employing this power of self-sacrifice that by the time we came home, her measure was completely filled with Christ's grace to enable her to stay sweet while we were ugly. And now all of us 8 children are ministers like I am. All of us. My 3 brothers are preachers. My 4 sisters are phenomenal, powerful ministers. And the grandkids and the great-grandkids. And mama can't die because she has great-great-grandkids who all need to be in the ministry. My one brother has 3 children there in the ministry. My other brother has 3 children there in the ministry. Powerful, anointed ones. My sister has 3 children there in the ministry. My other sister has 2 children there in the ministry. My other sister has 4 children there in the ministry. My other sister has 3 children. Everybody, all the grandkids are in the ministry. On the 13th of September, I'll be preaching in Ukraine, and Joshua, my son, will be preaching in the church. I'm telling you, my mama is on the march. She knows this power conquers all. The cross of Jesus conquers all, and she doesn't just talk about it, she lives it. She exercises it in prayer. You can become so forceful with this power that you can begin to pray like Jesus prayed on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And the Father answers that prayer because he's so pleased by the spirit by which you give yourself. I'm telling you, people, when you begin to bear the burdens of others and begin to intercede for them, miracles can happen, and God will change their hearts and minds because you're praying for them, because the spirit by which you bear what they bear pleases God. Now, what I'm telling you now is a great mystery. Because when we talk about the love of Christ compels me to no longer live for myself, what it means to no longer live for yourself means that God can take what is burdening others and put that on you. And when you feel what they feel and you bear that patiently and quietly and begin to make intercession, they get liberated. Most of us don't do that so well. Come on now. When you feel what other people feel, change your attitude. You're putting me under pressure. See, you cannot bear what they bear. And if their attitude is bad, when they feel it, how was your attitude when you felt what they felt? So why blame them for having a bad attitude when you can't have a good attitude? Do you see how silly selfishness can be when we are so unkind about what other people feel? Do you see how wonderful it is when the Lord can say, son, this man, he can't overcome what's tormenting him, but I would like you to be like my son to him. So I'm going to let you feel what he feels. And if you can then conquer it for him, next time you're talking together, that which is tormenting him will leave him because I've given you victory over it. See, that's what Jesus did for us. He suffered my sin on the cross, and he suffered it patiently and quietly, and he overcame it all so that he can give me the victory he won for me. Now that is the sweet fruit of that spirit of grace and glory. Would you like to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Then let him employ you. Let him be able to take the burdens and place them on you, and you carry them, and as you feel the pressure of them, you begin to worship and praise, and you begin to thank the Lord, and the evil is overcome in you by the goodness of Christ in you. And then when you have fellowship with these people, they are liberated because you've won the victory. Come on now. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he gave us the very life that God was able to work in him when he raised him from the dead. I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to take it again. God is not only wanting to give you power to lay down your life, he wants to give you power to live with him. Oh, when you feel that power, friends, that's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. I've got to stop. But I'll tell you this little thing. Let me see if I can find this little verse. I think it is in chapter... I found it. It's in chapter 3 of John. Yes? Chapter 3 of John. Verse 13. Yes? Look at it if you've got your Bible. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. The Son of Man who is in heaven. Yes? What is Jesus saying? He said, no one has gone into heaven who's also come down from heaven except me. I have come down from heaven. Yes? But I am in heaven, but I've come down from heaven. Friends, to be able to have this power to live with him means that you, that the life that you now have in him is manifest in you here on earth. To be made alive with him, to live as he lives, as he says in John 14, verse 19, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will know I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you, and as I live, you will live also. He said, the Son of Man who is in heaven. What Jesus was saying is, the life that you see in me here on earth is the life that I have with my Father in heaven. I want to encourage you. I brought just a few of my devotions with Christ at the throne of God, which talks all about this. Just get a copy and read it, and you will hear more about what I'm telling you. Friends, we need to realize that this life that God wants to manifest here on earth in us is the life that we have in heaven with him. Can you imagine living like that every day? Where you see that the life that you have in this body is not from your natural mother and father, but is the life that you have with your Father in heaven. And you now have a down payment of it. You have a measure of it in this earthen body. You're already an heir together with Christ of the life he has with the Father. You now partake with the saints in heaven. I mean, read this stuff. It's all in the Bible, what I'm telling you. And I'll close with this thought. I was sitting in Moscow airport having ministered in Siberia, waiting for my flight back to London. And I was there for many hours, 9 hours. And I'm sitting there, and it was like an elevator coming down. It's like I came down and I became aware of the world and all the people, thoughts of lust and anger and evil and hate and all the rubbish of the darkness. I became aware of it. And when I became aware of it, like an elevator coming down, and became aware of it more and more and more, I said, no, Father, no, Father, no, Father. I have nothing in this world. I have nothing in this world. I'm not of this world. No, Father, no, Father. Please, Father, no, Father. And instantly he spoke to me. And the elevator went back up. And he said to me, I'm upholding you with my own righteousness. And friends, it is not the normal Christian life that you are full of lust and full of uncleanness and ungodliness and evil. Jesus hasn't come to save you for you to be tormented by this. Yeah. No, he's come to save you so that you may live with him free from evil and that you may be a light in this world, of this life that is not of this world but comes to us from our Father, from Jesus who is the light of God. And that you may live in this glorious life. And it's like an elevator. As long as you stay in fellowship with Jesus, that elevator stays above the darkness. And you stop fellowshipping with Jesus, the elevator starts going down. When you know it is his righteousness that's upholding you, the elevator stays up. To me, it's my daily food. I have to feed on this. I must feed on it. I must feed on it. Jesus said, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me shall live because of me. I feed on it. It feeds on me. It feeds on me. How many of you, at any time during the worship, any time, could feel the presence of God in your flesh? Yeah? Okay, that means the Spirit of God was feeding on your flesh. Do you ever become aware of unclean feelings, evil feelings? It's trying to feed on you. No, in Jesus' name. I am not to be fed upon by unclean and unholy and evil spirits. I am to be fed upon by the life of the Son of God. I want to be, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want my natural body to be swallowed up by his heavenly body. I know this is a bit meaty kind of thinking, but you might as well get used to it. We don't want to just have this power to lay down his, our life. We want to have this power to take it again and to live as he lives. Oh, my friends, it is glorious. It is marvelous. It is wonderful. It's immeasurable. It's everlasting. There's no beginning or end to it. It is from everlasting to everlasting, this life. Do you know God is love? How many of you know this? Do you know God is light? Do you know this? Do you know this? Do you know God is everlasting life? It is His attribute. It's His character, His nature. It is the essence of His holiness. Eternal life is the essence of His holiness. In the book of Hebrews, 17 times He talks about this characteristic of God. Eternal life, everlasting life. What did Jesus come to give us? Everlasting life. John chapter 3 verse 16 says what? God so loved the world. See, you know that one. Well, what does it say in verse 36? Only 20 verses further. Aha, you didn't know that. He who has the Son has eternal life. Friends, we need to begin to know this power by which we live. It's an attribute of God's nature. And you feed on it and it feeds on you. It swallows you up. You are swallowed up by life. Praise the Lord, death is not my master. The life of Christ is my master. Death is not my Lord. Christ who rose from the dead is my Lord. I now live as He lives. And I live and I'm being kept by the power of His life so that I can serve Him effectively in this world. Can you hear me? And God wants you to live in this day and night. Oh, Pastor, I want to live in the knowledge of this life. And you have to be willing to die with Him. Because if you die with Him, you shall also live with Him. For we are buried into water baptism, into His death, so that we may also rise with Him in everlasting life. You cannot separate the two. You will never be consistent in the life unless you're consistent in the death. You cannot be consistent in the death unless Christ's power works it, maintains it, upholds it, and keeps you in it. I cannot stay in death by myself, except Christ keeps me in His death, because He's the only one that has the power to keep me. I'm being kept by the power of the Son of God for salvation that's ready to be revealed at the appearing of the Lord, Peter would say in his first chapter. It's the power by which He keeps you. I have faith in His ability to keep me dead to sin indeed. And how shall I continue in sin if I have died with Christ to it? Read Romans chapter 6. I have faith in only one for this man, and it is Jesus Christ with whom I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me, and His power by which He laid down His life, the eternal Spirit by which He gave Himself to God is at work in me. And I have faith where I still kind of stumble over the natural nature, and He still tries to act like He's my master. I will not be threatened anymore by my old man. I will not be frightened anymore by the man of sin, because I know the man who overcame sin and death, and He is Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, and I have faith in Him. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Would you help me stop by standing with me? Barukasha. Father, we open our lives this night to this mighty power by which Jesus offered Himself, this eternal Spirit that You were able to work in Him, that You gave into Him by commandment, this power by which Jesus offered Himself. You give us this power tonight. You give us this power through Your Spirit and Your Word tonight, and we receive it. Come on, some of you really need to let the Lord Jesus nail you to the cross with Him. Bury you to that old sinful nature that still makes you stumble and fall. You need to once and for all say, Christ, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And if you have been living a life that you know is so contrary to his nature and character, then I call you to repentance. Turn from it now. Turn in faith to Jesus Christ, whom you have heard of me tonight and see in me tonight. And I tell you, the Spirit of peace and grace will come upon you now. So I want to ask you, if you need to surrender your all, to put your hand on your heart. And everybody pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of all my sins. And I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and make me clean. I surrender my all to you now. And I receive you as my Savior and my Lord, my Master. And I receive this power by which you gave yourself to lay down my life so that it's no longer I that live it, but you live in me, Jesus. Thank you, my Savior, for loving me. Amen. Now, Father, I pray over every individual here tonight that this word is so life-forming and shaping in their hearts and mind that they begin to experience this power, Father, this glorious power by which you offered yourself to liberate us with your precious blood from all the dead works that separate us from you, so that we may have a conscience that is cleansed to perceive and recognize what you are saying and you are doing. And the Lord make you sweet in your heart, in the ability to lay down your life for one another sweetly. Daily, sweetly serving those around you in your own home. And the Lord give you this sweet power. He gives it to you so you can draw on it when you're suffering. You can draw on it when you are being treated unfairly, when you're having to endure hardship. Did you draw on this power and that it makes you fully, fully filled with Christ himself? Father, I pray your peace over every person here tonight. And I thank you for the miracle of what you've worked in us here and in this wonderful church, and Pastor Ben and Amanda, that you have made them, molded them, shaped them, and raised them up for this hour and for this day to bring salvation to this nation together with this phenomenal team here. And I bless this Tree of Life Church. I bless all of you. And I say, the Lord make you prosper. The Lord make you the head over the forces of darkness and not the tail. The Lord make you above all the darkness in this world and not beneath. The Lord cause you to be prosperous and blessed. And the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. And everybody says,